Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I pray, my brothers and sisters, that this day has been a day of joy, regardless of what you may be going through. When we focus on who we are in Christ Jesus, the joy of the Lord, it renews our strength. It rebuilds our faith. The joy of the Lord is an infectious way for us to give thanks to Him, to satisfy Him with the rebuilding of our faith as we continue through our struggle, or as we continue to rejoice on the mountaintop, as we continue by faith love on Him, press into Him. This is what brings us to this amazing teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. Discipleship is not easy. Discipleship in Christ Jesus can be a little struggling, but He never promised that it was going to be an easy road. But I can rest assure you, it is worth it. My brothers and sisters, it is worth the struggle, because when He brings us through, what a day of rejoicing it will be, that we give thanks to Him for all that He's done for us, with us, through us, and He's used us, that He get the glory. That is discipleship. And that brings us to our part two of this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship, but our focus is relationship with God. God so loved the world that He gave, my brothers and sisters, He gave His only begotten Son. And we know that in John 3:16. Relationship with God shows a dying world the importance of being saved. This is how we are to live our lives before others, is in relationship with God, holy and set apart. Relationship with God is all beneficial now and eternally. So this brings us to where we are today. And I pray that you continue to stick with us in this teaching series, as well as the broadcast, Mission from the Heart, and tell others about it as Minister Harold Copeland and myself, Carnita Smith, continue to seek the Word of God, expounding on and exposing the Word of God to you, to us, that the extending of Jesus Christ would continue to take place through salvation. This is the work of discipleship, that we continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that others would come to know Him for themselves. So I'm just going to turn the mic over to Minister Harold Copeland as we continue to journey through the Word of God, hallelujah, understanding the meaning of discipleship, as well as relationship with God. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in all things. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. And hello, everybody. We welcome you again. God bless you. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland. And along with our wonderful host, Minister Kenita Smith. You got it. We are in studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it is always an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. But most importantly, God loves you. And yes, he has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the seed of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge will release God's divine plan for your life. And you too shall stand and fulfill God's divine destiny for you. As we said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And today we will be discussing the topic, as we said, relationship with God. And we're going to dive right on into the teaching. And we always start out with our launch pad scripture. Comes out of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 verses 16 through 20.
Matthew 28. 16 through 20, and I'm going to take the liberty today to read it in the Amplified Translation, and it reads this way. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted it was really he. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Now for today, as our foundational scripture, we want to read out of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 3. The book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God. Now, focus on our topic, relationship with God. Now, the greatest obstacle that we face, that we hinder our relationship with God, I mean, this beautiful, intimate relationship with God, is the devil. In the passage of scripture that we just read, they called him the serpent. The devil, the Bible says, calls him the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. In other words, to hinder the intimacy between us and God. The Bible will tell us that he's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And the way he devours is by painting a false representation, a false picture of who God really is. And the way he does that is by infiltrating our mind to make us think that God is out to get us. And as was said, he's making a statement to Adam and Eve that God is not good. And he wants us to believe that by his lies and his tricks and his vows. He was trying to convince Adam and Eve that God was withholding something from them, that God didn't want them to reach their full potential, that God didn't want them to be like him. And the truth is, they was already like God. The fullness of God was dwelling on the inside of them when God blew his divine life, his divine flow into their nostrils. And the devil further lies and say God made that rule about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to hinder and hurt them. See, Satan was coming up against God's very nature and character when he maligned God by saying God did not want the best for them. The same thing we have to face on a daily basis. The devil has no new tricks. He still kills and destroys, and he's doing it every day to us to the world by saying, if you follow God and don't experience all of those other things that goes against God's word, you'll never be happy. I thought that. I remember I had a friend. We was in high school. We went to church all together all of our lives. We stayed in the same community. And he actually said, we was in the 12th grade, and he actually said that I'm not going to really give my life to God until I have my son, so I'm going to wait till I get older. And I thought, tomorrow's not even promised. Today or salvation is just that, today. So what my friend was saying, my life will be boring if I become a Christian. There will be no life. It will be dead. And so people with that mentality, they go and do the drugs, go and do the alcohol, they have the sex, they do the rebellion, indulgence of self, making self God. I've been there. Success in jobs. And on and on and on and on and it goes. And by the time they realize, they have already destroyed their lives, their families, and their health. But God meets us right where we are. And he brings forth restoration. See, the truth is that God is a good God. Oh, yes. And he's good. I remember that old saying they used to say in the church growing up. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. And that's truth. And see, God has a good will for all of our lives. But that Satan, he's still using the same temptations on us today that he used against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, implying that God is not a good God. Now, there's some dead gods out there that can't help nobody, and they're not good. But we're talking about the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Paul always opened up with the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of glory. Now, if a person has a little understanding of God through the reading of the scripture, they would think that God is bad. To go to the book of Genesis, let's make that the book of Numbers. Let's make that the book of Numbers. Chapter 15, verses 32 through 36.
32 through 36. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So, as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died.
Amen. Now, let us notice that that passage of scripture came out of the Old Testament. And we are operating, our relationship with God comes out of the New Testament. And the word testament means covenant. So we have the old covenant in Jesus Christ. There's a new covenant, a new and better covenant, better than the old covenant. And what happened in the old covenant, the Old Testament, is man picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. And he was stoned to death for failing to observe the Sabbath. Now, that does sound harsh, but let's see, can we pull the purpose out of that, out of such harsh punishment? Now, it's not obvious in just a casual reading of scripture. We are commanded to study to show ourselves approved, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. You know, we got here a little, there a little. Amen. Line on line, precept on precept. But careful study reveals that the Old Testament, which means covenant, which was under the law, it was given to make the sin that was committed become exceedingly, somebody say exceedingly, exceedingly sinful. Let's see what Paul says about that in the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7 verse 13.
Romans 7:13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment exceedingly sinful.
Amen. And let's grab the purpose. The purpose of the punishment. Because people didn't realize how deadly their transgressions were against a holy God. Amen. God is so holy that no unrighteousness, no sin, no unholiness can come into his presence. And in the old covenant, they did not have a savior like we do. So their sin was an offense to God. And in the old covenant, they made the mistake of comparing themselves to each other. Well, I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. And we do that today. And they're measuring their actions by what other people were doing. So when someone committed a sin and wasn't struck dead, they thought sin must not be so bad. And they lowered the standard. You know, I liken this unto the classroom. When we set classroom expectations, they must be followed by the students. And if they are not followed, then there has to be consequences. And the first time, that may just be a verbal consequence. The next time just may be a restriction. And the next time may be, I'm calling mom and dad. But there has to be a consequence, because if the one who committed the infraction does not receive a consequence, one is telling the whole classroom that it's okay to break the expectation, cause nothing will happen. And that's what God had to do, because if you do this, then I will have to do that. So if someone committed a sin and one struck dead, they thought that sin wasn't so bad, and they lowered the standard. They lost true perspective on what right and wrong was. So God had to bring man to a plumb line. And that's what the expectations in the classroom is, a plumb line. A proper standard of what right living was, so they will reject the devil and his temptations and recognize what the end result of wrong choices would be. And then when God did that, he had to enforce the law he gave. So he had to release the consequences that was established according to the law. Now, we need to understand that God did not give the Old Testament commandments for the purpose of saying, until you do all of these things, I can't accept you or love you. This is not God's nature and character. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. And it's not that I'm loading you down with scriptures. I just want you to realize the importance of scripture, to study as the Bible tells us to do. Hear a little, there a little. Line on line, precepts on precepts. Because the scriptures is our weapon. Yes, it's our weapon. And as we see when Jesus tempted of the devil, he declared, it is written. It is written. We fight with scripture. It's a spiritual warfare. We're in it, whether we want to be in it or not. And we need the word of God. You know, just like we feed our physical body with physical food. And I know we just don't eat one little piece of bread or one little piece of meat. No. I would like to see some of you all, you know, after church on Sundays at the buffets. I mean, we eat a buffet of natural food to keep this old natural body. And our reality, our natural bodies, is the way of our spirituality. So that's why Jesus, he commands us to fast, to weaken our natural body so our spirit man can get stronger than the natural, to renew our mind. If we don't renew our minds, we're double-minded. And the Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So let's go to some scripture. We're going to read a couple. Write them down. Write them down. And when you fast, eat them like a buffet. And let them get on the inside of you and come alive. Let that seed germinate, take root and germinate. And begin to release spiritual fruit on the inside of you. Spiritual fruit. You know? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So let's start out with the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 10. Write it down.
James 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all.
Amen. It's impossible to keep the law. Impossible. Because what we just read, if we stumble on one, it's just like we failed in every one of them. We committed all of them. 99.5 won't do. That's that song where you could sing in old church. I got to make 100. And it's just impossible to do it. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. That's Romans chapter 7. Verse 13.
Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful.
Amen. So what the law did, Paul is saying the law is good. Why? Because when the law came, it exposed every wicked way that was already in me. Every sin that was already in me. He said, I didn't even know I was a coveter until the law came. So the law is good. So God gave the law to make a sense of right or wrong. And to bring us back to the fact that we need a Savior. Amen. And that's what the Old Testament was about. The Old Covenant was about God was using the Old Covenant to show us that we need a Savior. And he started out in the garden with Adam and Eve. They was in perfection. And he was showing man, even in his perfect, his perfection, cannot come in my presence without a Savior. And the relationship with God is based on our Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. We can't have this relationship, glory to God, without Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and our Master. Hallelujah. None of us can live good enough. None of us can walk good enough. None of us can talk good enough without a Savior. None of us can think well enough without a Savior. Hallelujah. And every day we need to know that we need Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And people thought God was demanding perfection before he could love them. That's religion. I was in that for years. There was a time I was so religious, I thought I was better than everybody. I could count my sins on one finger. Oh, yes, I could, because I was a religious hypocrite. I was a Pharisee and a Sadducee. I thought I was pleasing this God. Amen. I thought this my walk and my righteousness was, I was earning it. Glory to God. But you know what? As I grew older and the world came my way, I had so many sins that I couldn't even count them. I couldn't count them. And since I was in religion, I thought I could never have a relationship with this God. Amen? Because I thought it was about me. But when the truth came forth, amen, that it's not about my walk. And it's about not about my works. It's by grace. Amen. I can't boast on myself. Like Paul says, I boast on Jesus Christ. If I boast, I boast on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. He paid it all. And Jesus walked this righteousness out when I found out the truth. He walked the righteousness out and gave me credit for it. Amen. And then empowered me with the Holy Spirit to overcome the things that I couldn't overcome on my own. It's all about our Savior. It's not proportion to our performance, this relationship with God. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. And if we think of our performance, we would think that I got to do everything right, or God will not accept me. This is not the message of the Bible. Glory to God. And I was taught that I had to do everything right. And it was good as long as I could count my sins on one finger. But when my sins got so heavy and my burdens got so heavy, I couldn't even carry them anymore. I thought I had lost the relationship with my God. God's heart is to reconcile mankind to himself, not to judge him. Oh, that's so beautiful. I got to say that again. God's heart is to reconcile mankind to himself and not to judge him. Not to impute their sins. Not to hold their sins against them. And David, a prophet, and he was in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and he seen this through the spirit of prophecy. He seen the new covenant. He's seen the New Testament. And in a spirit of holy jealousy, he said, blessed, I'm paraphrasing, those New Testament believers that God would not impute sins against them. And we know what impute means. It's an accounting term. If I put money on your account, I'm imputing it. I'm imputing that money to your account. It's your money. Amen. It belongs to you. So God does not impute our sins against us. Now, glory to God. This is the relationship we got. Why, preacher? Because he imputed all sins upon Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he did. He imputed every sin upon his son. Sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, sins of forever. That's a loving God. Oh, yes, he is. And he's a good God. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. The heart of God for you and I is for us to receive his righteousness, that we may have a righteous relationship with him. And that's the real heart of God. The real heart of God is love. Let's read 1 John, the real heart of God. Oh, I sense his heart. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8.
1 John 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen. It doesn't say God has love. Some people think God has love. And when they do good, he gives it to them. And then when they do bad, he takes it away. He holds it back. But God is all the time, regardless of your and my performance. God's love for us never changed. Take away our sin and anything that would separate us from him. And you know what? He already done it through Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. And God is offering that relationship today to whosoever have not received it. It's not based on a performance, but on your faith and acceptance of Jesus bearing all of our sins. And we can have relationship with God today, regardless of our failures, regardless of our mistakes in life. All we have to do, and all that God requires for us to put our faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the time we stop, drop, and pray. And I turn you over to Minister Kenita Smith. God has anointed us to take us to the cross and to pray.
Amen.
A prayer of salvation.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Minister Copeland has shared some rich nuggets with us concerning this teaching series, or this segment of the teaching series, Relationship with God. This is a vital and key element in our salvation, is that we not just say that we're saved, or I've got mine, you get yours, in a way to where you're selfishly thinking about yourself. No, this that we have, this salvation that God gives us as a gift, is a relationship with Him through Christ Jesus. And I want to just read 9 in 1 John and chapter 4. Listen to what it says. And I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. It says, God showed how much He loved us. Put yourself in there. Put your name in there. God showed how much He loved Carnita by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. Make it personal, so that I might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved you and sent His Son, a sacrifice to take away your sin. So friend, brother, sister, since God loved you that much, we surely ought to love each other. So the reason why Mission from the Heart extends the word, and that's capital T-H-E, capital W-O-R-D, is so that you may come into the ark of love, salvation, that you would be born again. So this is an opportunity for us, for you to get right, get it right. No more putting off till tomorrow, because we know it's not promised to us. We say, Scripture tells us, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we want to rejoice in it today. So my brothers and sisters who are listening to this broadcast who may not know Jesus for yourself in an intimate way, we encourage you to make that right. So as we pray a prayer of salvation, and as our other brothers and sisters in Christ undergird you in prayer, we touch and agree that you would no more hesitate, procrastinate, that you would make it right. So I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to partner with us. Lift up that spouse or that person that you've been carrying on your heart to come to know the Lord. Lift them up by name as well. But for those of you who are listening, just bow your head. Maybe even get on your knees. If you have to, lay prostrate on the ground, that God will know that you come to him with a whole heart, not half-hearted. This is serious. As we pray together. Now, again, I always say it's my words, but it's your heart, a heart that God can see. So I encourage you right now to come as humbly as you know how, to the foot of Jesus in prayer, surrendering it all to him, that you would be born again. So let's just take care of this right now. So let's bow our heads as I pray. Dear Lord, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Today, right now, here I am, Lord. I come totally surrendering my life, my heart, my mind to you. I've said some things that I know were not right. Lord, forgive me. I've thought some things in my mind that I know are not morally right. Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I've even acted in ways that were ungodly. Lord, please forgive me in thought, in words, and my deeds. You are my purification. You clean me up and make me brand new. The more I learn and hear your word, I feel the nudging of you saying, come to me. Here I am, Lord, with outstretched arms, laying flat on my face, head bowed, heart ready. I love you, and I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. Scripture says it, and I believe it, Lord. You gave him that I may be saved. I believe by faith, Lord God, that you did this for me. No man, no woman could tell me any different. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done. I thank you, Lord, for what you give me, and that is the free gift of salvation. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm super excited, Brother Harold and I, and I'm sure those who are partnered with us in prayer are just praising the Lord right now because of what you have done, what you have decided to do. And this is a big step, and it may not be an easy one from this day forward, but as long as you have the Word of God, our weapon, as long as you know without a shadow of a doubt that he loves you and you are saved. Hallelujah. You glorify him. You boast about him. You brag on him. Because he set aside this day for you to come to know him. So we encourage you to get in a Bible teaching church, a church that will baptize you by submersion of water, that you would seek out a small group Bible study such as a Sunday school or a discipleship class, but that you will continue to grow and go in grace. So this is our prayer, and we are excited for you. Brother Harold?
Praise the Lord. I welcome you all to the family of God. Amen. Congratulations on your new beginning. You're on a journey now. And it's a good journey. It's going to take you to your destiny. You get to really find out what God placed you in your mother's womb. You find out who you are in Christ. Your spiritual identity. Amen? And no longer be deceived by the unrenewed mind that study preaches your fleshly identity, spiritual journey. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must, very powerful word, must, meaning there's no other way. And that worship takes on the connotation of having a relationship with him. Amen. Entering into a fellowship with him. So must do it in spirit. Not through our minds, not through our intellect, not through our soulless realm, not even through the physical body can we have this relationship. But it's in the spirit. So the minute you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, God release his Holy Spirit to come into you. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And Holy Spirit touch and brought your spirit alive again. Amen. And life is not making a living, but life is having a relationship with God. That's life. And until we get this relationship, we was dead in trespasses and sin. And I say congratulations on the new life. Congratulations on the breath of receiving the breath of God, the spirit. The Greek call it the roha, a new life. And see what that life does. It establishes the relationship. And it begins the relationship. It's just the beginning of a wonderful journey. And as we walk with God, like Adam did in the cool of the day, we get to know him. And all those religious lies and religious deceptions and the devil's deception is washed away out of our minds and our soul. And we know the truth in our spirit. And Jesus will say, the truth that we know will make us free. So once we enter into this relationship, we begin to walk with God, and we begin to learn his true nature. Oh, yes. Yes. We begin to learn the nature of God, because God places that nature. He just don't connect the spirit to spirit, but he places his nature on the inside of us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, which began to bring the new life out of us. And that life is the resurrection life of Jesus Christ begin to emanate out of our spirit being. And we can begin to say what Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet it is not I, but it's Christ. And he's living his life in me. So this teaching on the relationship with God will take us to next week, which is the very nature of God. And we learn that God, even though we fluctuate, God does not fluctuate. God say, I change it not. And he doesn't. And even when we mess up, God never changes. His nature never changes. And the nature, his very nature, he placed it in our spirit, do not change. When we think wrong, when we talk wrong, when we perform wrong, it's all just, he just keep it at an even, he's God, and nobody can stop him from being God. Your sins can't, my sins can't, your mistakes can't, my mistakes can't, the devil can't, demons can't, nobody can stop him from being God. So next week, we ask you to come with us again, and we're going to talk about the nature of God. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. What an exciting new segment of this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. I cannot wait until we are back again to hear about this new segment, the very nature of God. I hope you are as excited as myself and Brother Harold Copeland, and it just brings delight and joy to my soul to know preparing for another wonderful buffet, as Minister Copeland made mention in the beginning of this broadcast. Good food, good food, good food for the soul. So, praise the Lord, we have come to the end of this particular broadcast today, and it has been a wonderful one, and I pray that you've enjoyed it just as much as we have. And we always know that the Word of God, it will remain forever and ever. And that is proven. It has been proven. And, of course, today we are still talking and spreading the Word of God. So we just encourage you to meet us again here with Mission from the Heart as we continue in this series under the umbrella of discipleship. And as this particular segment ends in part two, relationship with God, let a friend know about our broadcast. Let a friend know how blessed you are receiving good teaching through this radio broadcast. Let others know. Share it with others. Don't just hoard it for yourself. Share it. So always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away. But we know as we share the Word of God, it will multiply, it will germinate, and it would be watered, and God will bring the manifestation. Just do your part as a child of God. God bless you. We love you, and we pray that we will be together on another wonderful teaching series through Mission from the Heart. God bless.